Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I heard that from the choir, but I didn't hear that from the congregation. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house. That sounds a lot better. We're glad that you're here, and our heartbeat and our prayer, as always, is that as we worship the Lord together, we truly experience God's presence together. If you are visiting with us today, we're glad that you're here. Please do us a favor. We want to get acquainted with you and get to know you better, so please take just a few moments, if you will, and find that guest card that is located there in the pew and simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. I do want to mention two prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer. Lou Jones had a fall and she's been sent to the hospital. So let's be praying for Lou Jones. From what I understand, it's not too concerning and there's a possibility that she'll get to go right back to her place of residence. So that is a praise report, if that is the case. And then one other prayer request that was brought to my attention, let's be praying for Randy Bergen. Randy Bergen has been under the weather and he's dealing with some gout right now. So just a lot going on there. But why don't we stand together as we dedicate this service? We always want to come together in unison with a spirit of harmony and unity as we gather together this morning to worship the Lord. And let's ask his blessing upon this time together. Father, we are forever grateful that in your sovereignty that you have put together Meridian Baptist Church as the local church for this particular spot, for this particular community, for such a time as this. And God, we want to be great commission minded in all that we do as a congregation. And so, Lord, what a joy it is that we can come together to worship you and to praise you. And Lord, just as we read in John chapter 4, we think about the woman at the well, Lord, what Jesus said, that Lord, we want to worship in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, as we sing these hymns of the faith in just a moment, as we open up the Word of God and study the Scriptures, Lord, we pray that everything today would be designed in such a way that you would receive the glory and the honor. And on this special Senior Adult Day, as we carve time out later in the service just to acknowledge our senior adults, we are forever grateful for their impact and their legacy that they have left upon all of our lives. And so, Father, we ask that you would just bring blessings upon their lives as well. Father, as always, our heartbeat and our prayer is for people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, if there's someone here today that has never been saved, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, that you would just speak to them clearly about where they stand with you and that you would do a mighty moving in their lives. Father, we love you. And we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will.
Let's sing together, everybody.
Amen.
All right, kids, come on down. Brother Kid Story, come on and join me on the steps here. All right, got some kids all over the sanctuary this morning. It's good to see you guys. All right. Got some fast kids. Goodness gracious. Fast getting down the aisle. May the fourth be with you, right? Yeah. All right. Man, it's good to see you all of you this morning. I want to ask you all something this morning. Have you ever heard of a guarantee? Has anybody ever heard of a guarantee? No? What is a guarantee? Does anybody know what a guarantee is? Well, I mean, it could be like that. As you said, it could be where you're supposed to be something and don't want to. Well, sometimes it could be that way. But if I say I'm guaranteed that something's going to happen, or I give you a guarantee, come on down, Carter. It means that I'm giving you that it's going to happen for sure, okay, as far as a guarantee. So what are some examples? Well, sometimes you see something on TV, and they say it's guaranteed to last for 5 years or for 2 years, kind of like a warranty, right? Or does anybody like baseball? Do you have any baseball fans here? He played catcher. Well, what's that?
Sometimes I do wrestling, and I'm going to be assessed with football.
Yeah, that's a
I'm
lot of sports.
Do all those
that's
sports.
Great. Well, baseball, there is a big thing called the World Series every year where you have the championship. What do you got, Carter? You do baseball? Awesome. Well, the World Series is like the best game. And so in 1932, they were having a game with the Yankees and the Cubs, and this was game three in Chicago. And so it was tied 4-4, and this guy got up to bat named Babe Ruth. And he pointed, it was two strikes and two balls. He pointed out in the middle of the field, at center field, the next pitch, he hit a home run over the fence. He guaranteed a home run, and he got it. He made that home run. The NFL, the third Super Bowl, there was the AFC and the NFC. NFC was always better. They had the Colts. The AFC had the Jets. And Jets had this kind of overrated quarterback, but he guaranteed they were going to win. And sure enough, they won. But he guaranteed it. That's like a guarantee. Well, you know what? There's a guarantee in the Bible. There's a guarantee in the Bible. And it says this. It's from, we can see part of it in John chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. It says, "But don't leave because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands." So what is that saying? That's Jesus speaking there. What did Jesus guarantee us when he said that? That's exactly right. Nobody can steal you from him. If you say Jesus is the Lord of my life, Jesus guaranteed you this. He said, you're going to have eternal life. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he guarantees you're going to have eternal life. So I want you to do this. When you leave here today, think about this. Have I made Jesus the Lord of my life? And if I haven't, do I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life? It's something we all need to. Jesus wants everybody to be make him the Lord of their life, right? And I mean, we saw awesome just a couple weeks ago. We saw Colton, and Colton made Jesus the Lord of his life, and he was baptized right here in the front of the sanctuary. So I just hope everybody thinks about that this week and thinks about that guarantee that's available for each and every one of us. Why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads real quick? We're going to say a blessing, okay, or say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time we have together. Thank you for your house, and thank you for that awesome guarantee you give us, dear Lord, of eternal life, dear Lord, if we're just willing to accept that and make Jesus the Lord of our lives, dear Lord. Thank you so much for these things. I pray you be with our pastor this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, isn't it great that we do have a guarantee in Christ this morning? If you'll grab your bulletin, we're going to do our scripture reading. If you will, as we read this, if you'll just stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 through 15 say this. "Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man
shows him his counsel. Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to just be in your house today. God, may we worship you and worship you well. And God, we pray for this time of worship and this time of opening your word. God, may we be fully prepared to receive it. May all distractions be placed aside. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen. Now let's take a moment to fellowship and welcome those around you.
Sing with me, please.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning of his resurrection, when the salt and earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the rover's call of yonder, I'll be there. When the rover's call of yonder, when the rover's call of when the roll is called.
Pray with me, please. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for a church that we have, that we can come and worship you, Lord, this morning. Pray that you're honored in all that we sing and how we lift you up this morning. Pray for Brother Michael as he brings a message. And I just pray of a hedge of protection around Dennis and Michael and Chris, Lord, as they lead our church, Father. Pray for those that have been in the hospital sick and those that have lost loved ones in the days past. Father, pray that you'd minister to them. And Lord, we just want to tell you, we love you this morning. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could be Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley is too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand, but I can't even walk without you holding
folks. Today is a special Sunday as we acknowledge our senior adults, and this is my first senior adult Sunday here at Meridian, so I've been putting together just a few thoughts to share, and I think one of the first things I'll mention is the banquet. We had a great banquet this past Friday night. I was extremely encouraged by the strong attendance, and I appreciate our student ministry as they led the program. It seemed like we just had a wonderful, sweet time of fellowship. And I'm certainly thankful for that. So I was asked at the banquet, how old is a senior adult? Like, how do you answer that question, you know? Isn't some of that perspective? Would you say that sometimes it's all perspective? So at my house, and I'll just kind of demonstrate, like, I like to mess with my kids, because my kids, you know, I'm only 48. So when you say 48, the majority of the people say, well, that's pretty young, and it is, but to a 15-year-old or a 19-year-old, 48 is pretty old, right? It's all perspective. So what I do to mess with my kids when I'm sitting in the living room, when they come in, I'll wear my glasses like this. And then when I get out of my chair, y'all know what I do. Oh, like that.
And they say that I've aged about like 20 years just in a five-year window. So I like to have a little fun with that. But yeah, I was asked that question just the other night at the banquet. What is a senior adult? What age is that? So I'm not going to even try to answer that. If you're a senior adult, I would feel like you probably know that is the best way that I can word that. But I have a few verses of Scripture that I'd like to share. And after I read these verses, I'm going to have our senior adults stand, and we're going to take time out and express our appreciation for our senior adults. And then I have a really sweet poem. The author is unknown. I tried to find the author, and I could not find it. But I thought it was very special, and so I'm going to read the poem. But these are the two passages that the Lord laid upon my heart as we think about senior adults and what senior adult ministry is about and the impact they've had upon our church here at Meridian Baptist Church. And these verses really highlight the theme of wisdom. And this is what Proverbs 16:31 says. It says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life." What a beautiful thought. You know, oftentimes nobody really wants gray hair. But really, the Bible describes gray hair as a crown of glory, and it's gained in a righteous life. And then I thought about Job chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days." There's something to be said about a life well lived and the wisdom that goes along with that. And so I know that throughout my 22, 23 years of pastoring now, I can go back through the various ministries the Lord has allowed me to be a part of. And I know there's been very special seniors that have impacted my life in ministry, and I'm forever grateful for that. But what I want us to do at this time, I want us to acknowledge our seniors present. So if you're a senior adult, and we're not going to pull out the black book and decide that for you, but if you're a senior, if you will stand at this time. Let's give God the glory. Amen. What a beautiful group, and we're thankful for all of the seniors that are present here today. And so this is the poem that I bumped into. It's simply titled, "A Message to Senior Adults." Words cannot paint the beauty you carry, your legacy that is respected by those around you, your leadership and impact upon our lives, your love for the Lord and His church, your gospel witness that permeates our world. Your words and testimony have shaped our homes and our community. Your years of greatness and legacy have helped raise men and women of integrity that shines forth on the horizon of tomorrow. Beautiful and magnificent are your souls. The wisdom you carry is a true gift from our Heavenly Father. The seeds you planted through sharing wisdom and knowledge strengthen all of us and keep us strong. Your passion for the local church has blazed a path for the younger generations. And you have lived life as an example for others. Throughout the seasons of life, you have navigated your journey, holding tight to the guiding hand of God. Thank you for shaping our lives. And so today, we celebrate your life, your witness, your legacy and testimony. But most importantly, we give glory to God for all He has done for us. Before I pray, I want to highlight that last sentence of that poem. You know, as Baptists, we're really good about having special days, are we not? We have Baptist Men's Day and Baptist Women's Day and Senior Adult Day and Graduation Sunday and Mother's Day. And I think those things are all well and good. But it is a reminder that when it's all said and done, the glory goes to God. The glory doesn't go to a certain age group or a certain pocket of the church, but rather the glory goes to Almighty God. And so as I pray that would be our focal point, that would be our thought as we celebrate the lives of our seniors today. So let's pray together. Father, we are so blessed here at Meridian Baptist Church with all of those that have stood today, those that have lived life and have lived a long life, our senior adults and our senior adult ministry of our church. Lord, thank you for, in your sovereignty, weaving their lives into our lives. Lord, that through your providential care, you saw fit to put together this believing congregation. And so we rejoice in that. We find just joy in knowing that you saw fit to put us all together as a church family. Lord, I ask blessings upon our senior adults. Lord, thank you for the banquet this past Friday, as this entire weekend has been a time of celebration for senior adult ministry. Lord, I pray that at the banquet it was a time of celebration and just rejuvenation and refreshment for our senior adults, that they know how much they are loved here at Meridian. And Lord, thank you for our students who carve time out of their schedule to minister to our seniors. And so, Lord, as we take this time in the service to acknowledge our senior adults, Lord, we ask that you would continue to lead and guide and direct them and bless them. Lord, that you would keep them in good health. And Father, that you would allow their witness and testimony to continue to impact those around them. Father, this church is stronger for the senior adult ministries here at Meridian Baptist Church. And Father, we love you and we praise you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and find the book of Isaiah. We do continue a brand new sermon series the Lord laid upon my heart for the coming weeks. We began just last week. We're considering what I refer to as the attributes of God, the character traits of God. One of my heartbeats and prayers for our church here at Meridian is that we, as the people of this believing congregation, would get to know God better. And so we want to spend time in the coming weeks considering the attributes or the character traits of God. So last week we considered the love of God. I could not think of a better place to begin our study than to begin with the love of God. And so when it comes to this second week, I want us to consider the wisdom of God. There's thoughts behind that. With this being Senior Adult Sunday, I thought about the topic of wisdom. And I think about the fact that any wisdom that we have, any wisdom that our senior adults might be able to pass on to us, is truly a gift from God and God alone. We cannot own or take ownership of any wisdom or knowledge that we have. And so when we think about the attributes of God, it would be wise for us to consider the wisdom of God. Now, there's a list that I've put together of all the attributes that I want to cover in the coming weeks, and I want to read just a few of those for you just to give you an idea how exhaustive a list this is and how deep we're going to be going in the coming weeks. But I want us to consider the jealousy of God, the joy of God, the fatherhood of God, the justice of God, the severity of God, the holiness of God, the anger of God, the sovereignty of God, the truthfulness of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, the faithfulness of God, the wrath of God, the immutability of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God, just to name a few. I'm looking forward to this study. It's going to be good for us as we consider the depth of knowing God deeper. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 through 15 is where we begin. Actually, we'll go a little bit further. My mistake, we'll go to verse 18. But I really do believe that this passage highlights the wisdom in God Jehovah. And it magnifies the infinite greatness that we find in Scripture articulating the greatness of God. And so the prophet Isaiah ponders the greatness of God, and he does so by posing a series of questions about God. Now, granted, they're rhetorical questions, and I think you'll pick up on that in just a moment, but he actually asks six different questions, and then he turns around and he answers his own questions. But we begin in verse 12, Isaiah chapter 40, and it simply says this: "Who has measured the waters and the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, and closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then By the way, this is the key question. To whom then will you liken to God, or what likeness compare with Him? Let's pray together. Thanks be to God for His Word. Father, we ask blessings upon our time together as we consider this deep passage. Help us to have greater understanding. And Lord, with our Bibles open before us today, we pray that You would help us understand what the text says and means, and that we would respond to it in a way that honors You. Father, we love You and we praise You, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There are so many passages of Scripture that I could have run to today to consider the topic of the wisdom of God, but it just felt like this was the one that we need to peel back the layers of and understand in a greater way today when we think about the wisdom of God. And so Isaiah was overwhelmed with the wisdom and the greatness of God. Now, this should not surprise us. When you go back to the beginning of the book of Isaiah, you may remember that great vision that the prophet Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6. And he was so overwhelmed with the greatness of God, you may remember he prayed, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." So he was overwhelmed by the greatness of God. There are other instances within Scripture where we see people were overwhelmed by the greatness of God. You may remember that Moses trembled when God spoke to him in Acts chapter 7. We're told about that in the book of Acts, about Moses' encounter with the Lord in the Old Testament. And then Paul fell to the ground when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. In Revelation chapter 1, John lost all physical strength when God had spoken to him. And what about the Apostle Peter when he realized who Jesus was? He fell at His feet and he said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. And so we think about these instances where people have an encounter with the Almighty Living God and they are overwhelmed with the greatness of God and the wisdom of God. So it shouldn't surprise us here in Isaiah chapter 40 that Isaiah expresses something similar. He says in verse 18, again, this is our key verse, "To whom then will you liken to God, or what likeness compare with Him?" I don't know about you, but I truly give an emphatic answer to that question. No one, hear me today, no one is like our God. There is only one true God. Can I get an amen to that? There is only one true God, and He is God Jehovah. And no one can remotely be compared to the greatness of our God. I don't want to get on my soapbox, and I'm not trying to rattle people's cages, but I will say a pet peeve that I have is I've never been a big fan of artist renderings of the Lord Jesus. I've never been a big fan of paintings that try to portray God. And the reason that I feel that way is, how could we ever paint a deity? I mean, should man ever even try to paint a picture of Almighty God? Any artist's rendering of God or our Lord Jesus simply falls short of the majesty and the greatness of Almighty God. And so as I read Isaiah's thought that led to this formulation of this question, I am reminded of how small I really am. I'm sure as a child you played with a pair of binoculars before. And we love those binoculars and how they magnify and highlight whatever we're looking at that's far away. But we've all done this as children. We've flipped those binoculars around and looked at them through the opposite end. And what does it do? It makes everything so minute and small. May I say this to you today? That is the way we ought to see the greatness of God. When we back up and see how magnified and great God really is and how overwhelming His wisdom is, it really ought to put us in the proper perspective. It ought to help us really understand how small of a particle we really are. I believe having the proper theology of who God is having the proper understanding and theology of who we really are. We're just a speck on the map. We're just a particle of His creation. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's a whole other theological discussion of the fact that we are made in the image of God and we are the crowning glory of the creation of God. But at the same time, we need to understand that He is the Creator and we are simply the created. And a lot of times we seem to get that upside down. We live in a culture and society today that seems to elevate man and worship man and downgrade God. But the prophet Isaiah had the right vantage point. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." He had the right understanding of the wisdom of greatness of God. And so we think of these things today. I want you to notice in your bulletin, we have just a few things that I believe with all of my heart help us understand the wisdom of God in a deeper way. There are three primary points, and then you'll notice on point number two that we've got a handful of subpoints, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But God's wisdom is seen in this passage. From verses 12 to 18, here in Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet Isaiah just maps it out. He lays it out for us to understand the wisdom of God. And so the first thing is this. Number one on your outline, God's wisdom is seen in the measurements of His creation. Let me say that again. God's wisdom is seen in the measurements of His creation. You say, "Pastor, how do we know that?" Well, look at verse 12. Notice what it says. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, and closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" May I say this to you today? God is the greatest mathematician and scientist ever. Think of our creation. Think of our created order. Think of the universe that we live in today. For instance, the earth's size is perfect for human habitation. If the earth were smaller, an atmosphere would be impossible, like the planet Mercury. If the earth were any larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen like Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain plant and animal and human life. And what about the sun? Have you ever thought about this? By the way, I'm not trying to bore you with a bunch of science, but I think it's good for us to think about these things. Have you ever thought about the fact that the earth is at the exact right spot when it comes to the temperature? The fact that it can roughly range from maybe 120 degrees Fahrenheit at its highest, and maybe a negative 30 at its coldest. If the earth were any further away from the sun, we would all freeze. Any closer, and we would burn up. Even a fractional variance in the earth's position to the sun would make life on earth impossible. Think about that for just a moment. God, in His great design, as He mapped out the universe, in His great wisdom, knew the exact measurements for His creation to provide life. And what about the moon? Our moon is the perfect size and distance from the earth for its gravitational pull. The moon creates important ocean tides and movements so ocean waters do not stagnate. And yet our massive oceans are restrained from spilling over across the continents. Again, God is the ultimate planner and creator of our universe. What about the stars? Well, Psalm chapter 147, verse 4 says this: "He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names." You know, you can watch late night TV, and I'm sure you've seen this before. You can actually call an 800 number and you can name a star. Have you seen those commercials, anybody? That's the biggest crock I've ever heard. Guess what? God's already named the stars. God has given a name to every star. And so we think about these things, and we think about water. Think about the fact that water is colorless and odorless without taste, and yet no living thing can survive without it. Two-thirds of our body is made of water. Water is a universal solvent. And the property of water means that thousands of chemicals and minerals and nutrients can be carried throughout our bodies and into the smallest blood vessels. It is overwhelming and fascinating when you think about the basics of our created order and how God, by His magnificent design, has created the perfect universe and world for us to thrive in. We live in a world that may seem uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But hear me today, we know who holds tomorrow, just like the old gospel song said. Gravity remains consistent. The earth rotates in the same 24 hours. The earth does not burn up. It does not freeze up. The speed of light doesn't change. How is this possible? The laws of science never change. It's because our universe is orderly designed by our great and wise, reliable God. And in His intricate, detailed creation, all of these things simply magnify His wisdom and how great He is. Now, with that said, God can do whatever He wants to do. Can I get an amen to that? God can do whatever He wants to do. He can suspend the laws of nature and natural order to do whatever He wants to do. And we see that in Scripture. It's fascinating when we dive into the pages of the Old Testament and we see the miraculous unfold and we see the good hand of God go against the natural order. Do you remember when God split the Red Sea to allow His people to cross and be delivered from the Egyptians? As He heaped the waters of the Red Sea to allow His people safely across? That is the hand of God. Only God can do that. He could suspend the sun and the sky to help the people of God in battle. We're all familiar with that passage. He can suspend the laws of physical science to permit an axe head to float in water simply to demonstrate His power. All of these wondrous things are done by the magnificent hand of our great and wise God. What about the human body? The greatness of God is exemplified in creation. It extends to the human body as well. The human body is an amazing machine, and God intricately and meticulously designed the human body with great detail. I saw on the news a couple of weeks ago, it was hilarious. Our friends overseas, I believe it was maybe China. I think it was China. Did y'all see where they had the AI robots in the 5K run? Okay, I see a few people. It was crazy. And I'll try to demonstrate what they look like. Maybe you need a good laugh today. But so they're doing a run of robots, and these robots would go so far, and then they just stop and just, you know. And I'm thinking, and so the people that had designed these, they were so proud of these robots, and they were only able to step maybe 5 or 6 feet, and then they collapsed. And we do live in a very technological society today where we're on the verge of many great things with science and technology, and we're on the cusp of an AI revolution. That's what society is telling us. But know this, no robot will ever be able to do the things that God has created in mankind. Man is the ultimate creation. We're the crowning glory of the creation of God. And so when you think about the human body, it ought to overwhelm you. It ought to amaze you. Now, we all come in different shapes and sizes, don't we? But all of us are a beautiful creation of God. I want you to know that today. It's not even in my notes, but just simply a thought. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with. Doesn't matter if you're tall or short or skinny or overweight. I want you to know this today. You are created in the image of God. And God loves you. And the human body is such a fascinating topic when we think about how intricately and meticulously it's been made with all the cells and all the things that are happening within the body. It's a fascinating topic. The brain, as it processes information, the human brain processes more than 1 million messages a second. What about the human eye? The human eye can distinguish among 7 million colors. Have you ever thought about that? Working at Sherwin-Williams in high school and college, we had a color palette that we would mix colors. I promise you this, we did not have 7 million colors. But only in God's providential care and His design of the world do we see the beauty that's around us today. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, it says this, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." And then we know the rest of this passage, "But even the hairs of your head are numbered." God knows the actual number of hairs on your head today. I'm not trying to overwhelm you with a bunch of science or a bunch of information. I am giving you information, though, because I want you to understand how intricately and beautifully designed you are made as a person and this universe is made. And I want you to see that through the lenses of God's wisdom. God is all wise. He has the utmost wisdom in His design for creation. And so when we think about this particular attribute and we think about the wisdom of God, we can't help but think like our friend Isaiah did. Isaiah is expressing a sense of bewilderment and being overwhelmed when he thinks about the fact that God created the world and the universe that we live in. Number two on your outline. God's wisdom is seen in His all-surpassing knowledge. God has all knowledge. If you believe that God has limited knowledge, or that God is not all-knowing, you need to get your theology straight because you're wrong. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him His counsel?" In other words, there's no man that can give God advice or provide counsel, rather, for God. Now, look at verse 14. "Whom did He consult? And who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding?" Hear me today. God does not grow or develop. Have you ever thought of it that way? We have to grow and develop, but God does not grow or develop. He cannot learn anything, for He knows everything. God does not receive new information. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. Nothing escapes His sight. Nothing can be hidden from Him. Nothing can be forgotten by Him. God knows everything possible and also knows everything actual. He knows all events and all creatures of all time, for He is the God of the past and the present and the future. He is perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. It's an overwhelming thought. But it's all-surpassing knowledge. Now I want you to notice, you've got about, what is that, five or six sub-points there. One, two, three. You got five sub-points there. These are all from a Puritan by the name of Thomas Watson. I know you never met Thomas Watson. He was born in 1620 and died in 1686. But he was a great Puritan. And these are the thoughts that he expressed on the knowledge of God. And I do encourage you to take notes on this. He says, "God's knowledge is pure. God's knowledge is pure. Though God knows sin, yet He hates it and wants to punish it. He punishes sin. He knows all about sin, but He punishes it. He hates it. No evil can mix with His knowledge." Number next, God's knowledge is without any difficulty. Let me say that again. God's knowledge is without any difficulty. You and I, we have to study. We have to search for knowledge. But Proverbs chapter 2 says that man seeks after knowledge like he would silver. That's what man has to do. We're constantly looking for wisdom. We're looking for knowledge. And yet God's lamp of knowledge is so infinitely bright that all things are understandable to Him. Third bullet point, His knowledge is infallible. Human knowledge is subject to error. A physician may make a mistake. A car mechanic may diagnose the problem with the engine the wrong way. But God does not make mistakes. His knowledge is infallible. The next one, God's knowledge is instantaneous. Our knowledge is like building blocks. One thought builds on another. But God's knowledge is all-encompassing. He knows the past, the present, and the future all at once. And you and I, in our finite minds, we cannot fathom what that looks like. We have to receive information and build upon thought after thought, but yet God knows the past and the present and the future all at once. Then finally, the last bullet point under number two is the fact that God's knowledge is eternal. It is retentive. In other words, it remains. It never loses any of His knowledge. He remembers and understands everything. His knowledge is eternal. Things that happened 1,000 years ago are as fresh to Him as if they happened 1 minute ago. Thus, He is perfect in knowledge. Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but I loved what I read with Thomas Watson, and I thought Meridian needs to hear that. All of those points, all of those thoughts that Watson articulates magnifies the knowledge of God and the wisdom that our true God has. Number three. God's wisdom is seen in His incomparable supremacy. His incomparable supremacy. Look at verse 15, if you will. It says, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales." Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Here we see that the nations are viewed in two ways. A drop in the bucket is the first description. Nothing in comparison, minuscule to the point of worthlessness. And then also we see the phrase, the speck of dust on the scales. In other words, it carries no significance whatsoever. Then Isaiah says that God lifts up the coastlands, the islands, that is, like fine dust. And as I read this, as I study this, I picture sticking my hand in a pile of sand or dirt and then picking some up and letting it sift through my fingers. We've all probably done that at the beach. You can imagine what I'm describing. And that summarizes what the nations are like, but they're just dust in the hand of God. And so whenever man seems to be puffed up with pride, it helps us to see that we are just dots on the map, that we're just a particle of His creation. Earthly kings and thrones are viewed as but grasshoppers from God's heavenly throne. And man will never be a threat to God. Were all the citizens of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth to combine in some sort of revolt against God, He would not become uneasy or feel threatened. He would not even have a small sensation of uneasiness. You see, there's an infinite distance between God and man that separates created man from Creator God. He is the potter, and we are just the clay in His hands to be molded into vessels of honor. I hope you understand my heartbeat this morning. For us to have the right understanding of who we are, we have to have the proper understanding of the wisdom of God and the greatness of God. The absolute and universal supremacy of God is plainly and positively affirmed in many scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Proverbs 21:30 says, No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. Oh, but the God of the 21st century no more resembles the supreme sovereign God than does the dim of a flickering candle, the glory of the midday sun. This world today, in other words, has made up their own little gods, false gods, and they are nothing but dust in the sight of the one true God. I close with this thought, returning back to our primary passage in verse 18. This was his larger encompassing question, summarizing all of these amazing thoughts that he had upon God. He said, To whom then will you liken to God, or what likeness compare with Him? Now I want to be true to the text here. If you go back and understand exactly what Isaiah is articulating, he's making a comparison and a contrast to these false deities, these false idols, these false gods found in the Old Testament. But he does pose a question, who can be likened unto God? And it's a great question for us to ponder today. I mean, think about it. Here's the truth of the matter. Let's just be real honest for a moment. You and I know very little about God. That's the truth. You may not like that, but it's true. We only know what God has chosen in His sovereignty to reveal to us through His written word. But I believe there's other things about God that are so beyond our scope of understanding and reasoning that we do not know everything about God. Seems like we have enough trouble as it is comprehending the information we do have about God. In 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after a reign of 72 years. He had called himself the Great and was the monarch who made the famous statement, I am the state. His court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral was equally spectacular. And as his body lay in state in a golden coffin, orders were given that the cathedral be dimly lit with only a special candle above his coffin to dramatize his greatness. At the memorial, thousands waited in hushed silence. Then the bishop, leading the service, began to speak, Slowly reaching down, he snuffed out the candle and said, "Only God is great." And how true that is. And all God's people said, we live in a society where there are those that believe that they are great. But the truth of the matter is simply this: no one is great but God. God, in His infinite wisdom, has the ultimate plan for humanity. And that plan involves redeeming sinful man through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as we prepare for the gospel invitation. And maybe you're here today and you have a decision you need to make for the Lord Jesus. Maybe there's never been that moment of conversion when you've called out to Jesus to save you. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Does that describe you today? Isn't it a wonderful thought that we have salvation available to us, not because of anything that we've accomplished or done, but rather what Christ has done for us? And so in just a moment, we're going to have a gospel invitation. And if you need to give your heart to Jesus, we invite you in just a moment as we have this invitation to step out and come forward. I would love to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you pray to ask Him into your heart, I promise you this based upon the authority of the Word of God, if you're sincere, He will save you. Maybe you're here today and there's another decision you need to make. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe there's some trials that you're facing and you just need prayer. I'd be so honored to encourage you through prayer. Maybe God is leading you to be obedient through believer's baptism. If that's the case, we encourage you in just a moment to step out, and we'd love to celebrate in that act of obedience and that demonstration of your true faith in Christ. If that describes you, we invite you in just a moment to step out. And then finally, maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe God has led you to Meridian, and you're looking for a place where you can roll up your sleeves and serve the Lord with another body of believers, a place of brothers and sisters in the faith to accomplish His will in our community. If that's the case, in just a moment, we invite you to come and make that decision public. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the richness of Your Word, and as we've thought about the wisdom of God, we rest in that promise to know that our God truly is the creator of wisdom, the designer of wisdom, and the giver of wisdom. We praise You for that. Lord, we ask now that as we step into this next portion of our service, the invitation, that it would be just that, an invite to do business with You. Father, we love You and we praise You, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Dennis.
Jesus is tenderly calling You home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will You roam farther and farther away? Calling today.
all God's people said, amen. Amen. Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Smith if he'll come and stand next to me. Gary comes today to unite with the fellowship here at Meridian Baptist Church, and he's moving his letter from Galilee Baptist Church. And by the way, he's plugged into my Sunday school class, so it's been a blessing these last few weeks to have him in Sunday school, and we even did lunch this past week, so just got to know Gary really well here recently. And also the brother of Shirley Darnell, so don't hold that against him. But anyway, just kidding. We love you guys. Do I have a motion to accept his membership today? Do I have a second? And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. Folks, you know the drill. In just a moment, come by and let Gary know how glad you are that he's decided to unite with our church family here at Meridian Baptist Church. Let me plug just a couple of announcements, a few things that are going on within the life of the church. You should have received a bulletin insert that looks like this in my hand here. This is from the Committee on Committees, kind of a new way of doing things, but this was an actual structure that we used in my former ministry that really seemed to go well. It seemed to flow well, and it helped the process of the Committee on Committees seeking God's direction on serving in the various ministries of the church. It is a front and back. You'll see a list of the committees. We need, and let me stress this, we need every member to fill one of these out. Maybe you've been on the flower committee for 30 years. Maybe you've been on the cemetery committee for 30 years. We need you to go ahead and please fill one out, because this will work really well, and it helps us put together a roster and a team where we can get every member involved in the church. I promise you this, it'll be a blessing. You know the old saying that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's typical in a Baptist church. Well, we want to kind of move the needle just a bit, and if we can get more people involved, maybe that won't be the case. So please, take time out and fill these out and place them in the offering plate. If you didn't get to it today, that's okay. We want you to pray about this. Don't rush into this. This will be an insert all four Sundays in the month of May. So you'll have opportunities to do so. But please help us out as a committee on committees, and that'll help our job go a little bit easier as we put it all together. And then one other announcement I want to mention. I know there's a lot of announcements. I'm not going to read all of them. But I'm really excited to share with you all that on Saturday, June 7th, we've got a community outreach event here in our very own backyard here at the church. What used to be called a day in the park that we would do up in Scott County, we're taking that ministry and we're doing that here in South Knoxville. So balloon animals, face painting, crafts, jumpers, games, hot dogs, food. I'm leaving a lot of things out. There's going to be giveaways. But it's our way and our opportunity as Meridian Baptist Church to let our community of South Knoxville, to let them know that Jesus loves them and that we also love them as well. And so we need your help to help out with this event. We had our very first meeting this past Wednesday night. It was really encouraging to see the attitude and the tone and the excitement that was demonstrated in that meeting. We're going to meet again this Wednesday night at 5. So if you missed the first meeting, it's okay. Come for the second meeting. We could certainly use your help, and we're going to get more information out that to you as we get closer to that event. All right, Jay King, if you'll come and make your way up here, Jay's going to lead us in our closing word of prayer. And again, folks, y'all know the drill. Y'all come by and extend the right hand of fellowship to Brother Gary. Brother Jay.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for our teaching and our singing. And I pray, dear God, for the message and the messenger, Father. Help us, Lord, just to look to you and do your will. We have many, Father, that are sick, that are having procedures and, dear God, treatments. I pray for their healing, Father. And go with us to our home and help us, dear God, to just be safe and to give someone a smile and a kind word, Father, as we go by. Your precious name I pray. Amen.